My dearly beloved in Christ, as I mentioned before Mass, the Feast of Corpus Christi was observed this past Thursday, and it is a very important feast. In fact, it may surprise you to know that Corpus Christi is one of the 10 holy days of obligation. Now you're all thinking, wait, what is Father talking about? I learned in my catechism that there are 6 holy days of obligation. But actually, in canon law, there are listed 10 holy days of obligation on the universal calendar, but for the United States, the obligation for 4 of them is transferred to the following Sunday. And Corpus Christi is one of those 4 additional holy days that we do not observe. And that's why today we are observing, as it were, the Feast of Corpus Christi. It is very important because, of course, this feast is honoring the institution of the Holy Eucharist, Corpus Christi, the body of Christ, the body and blood of Christ, in the Blessed Sacrament, in the Holy Eucharist. What a wonderful blessing, beyond the ability of words to explain. Now, in the Gospel we just read from the second Sunday after Pentecost, the story is of a man, a king, who prepares a great banquet. And is this not what our Lord has prepared for us? A heavenly banquet, a spiritual banquet. But the king was angry because many of those who were invited began to make excuses why they could not come. And when you read the excuses in the gospel, you think, well, they seem to have good reasons. But those excuses symbolize the reasons why so many will not go to Mass or will not go to Holy Communion. They think in their mind, I have a good reason. But what reason could be good enough to fail to attend the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass and to receive the bread of life in Holy Communion? So let us be careful not to make use of vain excuses to fail to nourish ourselves with the body and blood of Christ. Remember the words of our Lord as recorded in the 6th chapter of St. John's Gospel. And this was a meeting, a sermon of our Lord, the day after he multiplied the loaves and the fishes to feed 5,000 people. And the next day he was teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. And he said to them, you have followed me because you were filled with the bread yesterday. But the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. And he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood shall have everlasting life, and I will raise him up on the last day. He said, your fathers ate manna in the desert, but they died. The bread that I will give is my own flesh for the life of the world, and he who eats of this bread shall live forever. And then our Lord fulfilled that pledge of what he would do to give his body and blood about 1 year later, because that was at Passover time, the year before his passion and death. Now imagine those who were hearing those words at that time, they were thinking, what is he talking about? How can we eat his flesh and drink his blood? But our Lord, in his wisdom, gave us this sacrament under the appearances of bread and wine. And the bread and wine that are changed into the body and blood of Christ at Mass symbolize all of the food that we eat to nourish our body. But this heavenly food is to nourish the soul. If we were to stay away from Holy Communion for a long period of time, we could not persevere in the state of sanctifying grace. Our soul would wither and die for lack of the spiritual nourishment. Now, I would like to read a few verses of the wonderful sequence at this Mass. Now, the sequence is a sort of poem, a hymn, between the Epistle and Gospel. And we have five of them in the church. There's one on Easter Sunday. There's one on Pentecost Sunday. There's one in the Requiem Mass, the Dies Irae, and the Mass of Our Lady of Sorrows, the Stabat Mater. But the fifth is the Laudation Salvatorum from the Mass of Corpus Christi. And you notice it's a fairly lengthy poem, again, between the Epistle and Gospel. But it is a beautiful poem that explains in detail, like a catechism lesson, everything that we believe, everything that the Church teaches about the Holy Eucharist. But rather than go through the entire thing, I would like to read just a few of the verses, beginning with verse 14, the English translation. Flesh from bread and blood from wine, yet Christ in either sign all entire confessed is confessed to be. They who of him here partake, sever not, nor rend, nor break, but entire their Lord receive. Whether one or thousands eat, all receive the selfsame meat, nor the less for others leave. Both the wicked and the good eat of this celestial food, but with ends how opposite. Here is life, and there it is death, the same yet issuing to each in a difference infinite. And I wish I had time to read through and comment on every verse. It is such a beautiful hymn. But what is St. Thomas Aquinas, who composed this hymn, what is he teaching in these verses? That our Lord is present, whole and entire, in every host and in every part of every host. So if the priest were running short and he had to break the hosts in half to give communion to everyone, our Lord is not thereby divided. He remains whole and entire in each part. And yet every person who receives our Lord in Holy Communion is receiving our Lord whole and entire, not just part of him. Also, he explains here, whether one or thousands eat, all receive the selfsame meat, selfsame food, nor the less for others leave. Imagine this, how priests throughout the world today are changing bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ. And he is present in every place. And when our Lord is consumed in Holy Communion, he is not less present, we might say, there in that church or elsewhere. But then he goes on to say, but both the wicked and the good eat of this celestial food, yet with ends how opposite. It's kind of like a sick person. You can have a nourishing meal, a very wholesome meal prepared, and you're very hungry, famished, and you eat that food and you're physically refreshed and strengthened. But if a sick person were to eat that food, he would even be worse. There's nothing wrong with the food, but his condition is such that he cannot eat. Imagine those who would receive the body and blood of Christ unworthily, knowingly in the state of mortal sin. So the food is good. And those in the state of grace prepare and they receive Holy Communion and they are strengthened spiritually and they grow spiritually. They're united with our divine Lord. But God forbid, should someone come to receive him unworthily, that food which is so good would be to him death or even additional sin upon his current state of soul. And so that is a reminder of what St. Paul says in his first epistle to the Corinthians, which is in the epistle for the Mass of Corpus Christi, that he who eats of this bread or drinks of this chalice unworthily eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the body of the Lord. You know, you read these words in that epistle, the words of our Lord in the gospel, where our Lord said, this is my body, this is my blood. Do this in remembrance of me. And the words I quoted from the sixth chapter of St. John, the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. And you wonder, how can Protestants not understand this? Because they will say, oh, that's just a symbol. But we know, and the Catholic Church teaches, that when the priest says the words of consecration, the bread and wine are changed into the body and blood of Christ. And in fact, there no longer is any bread or any wine on the altar after the words of consecration. The entire substance of bread and wine is gone. It is changed into the body and blood of Christ. The only thing that remains are the appearances, the color, the shape, the taste, what appeals to the senses. But the substance is no longer that of bread and wine. It is truly the body and blood of Christ. This is the miracle of transubstantiation. You know, if you think about this, imagine that at the Last Supper, our Lord said to his apostles, I am about to leave you, and so I'm going to ask you, give you an opportunity to ask me for whatever you want, and I will do it for you. Ask me whatever you wish. Who in their wildest dreams could have even conceived the idea of asking our Lord to give us his body and blood for our spiritual food? The apostles would have never thought of that. But what human intelligence would never have conceived, our Lord, in his love, not only conceived, but also has done, instituting the sacrament to nourish us. Let us then make frequent and devout use of this holy sacrament. Always prepare well, always make a proper thanksgiving, and thereby this celestial food will be for us that which guarantees eternal life with our Lord in heaven. For he who eats of this flesh and drinks this blood will live forever, our Lord promised. Let us give thanks for this wonderful institution, and let us make certain that we never take it for granted. Always prepare well, and always make a devout thanksgiving for such a wonderful gift of God's love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.